This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 3 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. Our telephone number, if you're so inclined, is 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. I got an article here talking about a worker shortage because you need more people with the bachelor's degrees. But for some reason, everybody's saying, you don't need to be a bachelor's degree holder. Get a plumbing degree. Yeah, we need both. I need a plumber sometime. The more butt crack, the better. It means your tool belt is heavy. You got all the tools.
Hi there, Sherwin. What seems to be the problem?
My sink is clogged.
All right, show me what sink. Come here. No, show me. Walk me to the sink. You're holding my hand. Come on, let's go to the sink. Oh, yeah. And they look at it like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how they confirm. Oh, that's a clogger. That's what we call a A1 grade A cloggy.
Come here. Watch this. I'm going to bend down. Look at my butt. Look at it, Sherwin.
Please don't make me Mr. Plumber. Look at it! The more you stare at my crack, the faster I'll unclog this drain. But, sir, please. It's hurting my eyes.
Good. Get mesmerized by the crack.
No, sir, please. No, no.
No, sir. Please. Mesmerize.
Okay, we're all done now. All right, that's all. I'll be $394. Here, slide your credit card right here, right between my cheeks.
Let's talk to Al. Hey, Al, how are you? Hope you had a great weekend. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I heard you bring up the Jews.
Uh-oh.
The first thing I want to say is, don't nobody hate the Jews. It's just they keep putting them on a high. They keep putting them like they close to Jesus. First of all, they exploit the Holocaust for feelings. And everything is anti-Semitic because they don't want to be criticized. Well, stop doing devilment and you wouldn't have to be criticized. You know, everybody don't. And then what's so funny about the Republicans, y'all mad at black people, but y'all really the dumbasses because all the people who got the power ain't nowhere in the scene. And they laughing all the way to the bank. They use y'all as niggas for you, for your violence. And your ignorance, and you don't own a goddamn thing. All you got is a skin color and to be racist. That's it. But they're still in the control. They still in power. So who's the stupid, dumb albino monkey up in this mother sucker? Y'all walk around here kicking off all this stuff with black people and migrants. But when they had y'all out there acting like a goddamn fool, killing everybody, burning everybody up, raping everybody, they sat there and laughed at your white ignorant ass. And y'all sitting there looking stupid. And they're not even real Europeans. You supposed to be the real European. How you going to let somebody who's a converted European have more power than your European white ass? And then you want to talk about black people and migrants. Who's the dummy? Who's the dummy? That's what I don't get. And then on top of this, when you look at the history, they don't talk about all the evilness and devilment they did. They sold black people. They owned the ships. But you can't say nothing about them. And then on top of this, they don't even like your religion. They making fun of your religion. And you big bad Billy Bob Thornton, John Wayne, Bobby F-350, driving animals with your AR-15s, y'all don't say a goddamn thing. Y'all turned to a big old pussycat. But now you got all that mouth when it comes to migrants. You got all that mouth when it comes to blacks. Y'all always want to pick on the other people, but you never go to the root of the problem. You're mad at migrants, but you ain't mad at your white-ass kinfolks who was flying them over here and not hiring your ignorant white ass. And you sitting here with a pale line, being racist. You ain't getting mad at them Republicans that was hiring them and paying them. Y'all sitting here talking about, oh, America first, the hat you wearing not even made in America, you dumb idiot. I almost said the F word. And we in all this drama because you're mediocre, you don't want nobody to live in peace, and then you feel your happiness comes from somebody else suffering. I'm going to be honest with you, Mr. Hughes.
Oh, please, be honest.
A lot of them was failed by their mother because a lot of their mother allowed them to be raped and pimped out. That's why they grew up to be sluts, little whores, junkies, and alcoholics. Okay? You were told all your life you was white. And when you got out in this world where you ain't nothing but urine and a big old fat dookie turd sitting in the toilet. And I hear how some of y'all call in. And I said to myself, how you going to have all this white privilege and you're still nothing but a piece of white nigga sugar honey iced tea? And on top of that, when you look at a lot of these Republicans, they're like, they're beneath niggas. They're another form of niggas because that's how they act and that's how they talk. But they always find their Jesus moment when they can't swim in their own urine and they're drowning in their own boo-boo and doo-doo. But it's because they lack common sense. You don't lose logic, and y'all don't even live by the Bible of King James. And the only reason you do that because you know it's not an even playing field. Because if it was an even playing field, your racist, uncouth, low class, no class, don't wash your hands after number two, bestiality, sleeping with your own kids, raping animals, no goddamn well, you wouldn't do 90% of the stuff you got. And then getting in heaven, well, then again, you know, Jesus.
Let's land the plane now. So let's go ahead and let's head toward the runway. Let's get ready to land the plane.
Well, here, we're gonna land the plane like this. If you allow people to live in peace and harmony, you wouldn't have this problem. And stop giving them Jews all this goddamn highlight because they got to wipe a crack in their ass like everybody else. And they get a lot of government too, goddamn it. Now, argue that. Have a good day.
Opinions of the hosts and guests of this program are of their own and not a reflection of Milwaukee Black Media or 101.7 The Truth.
That'll get you canceled there. That'll heat. So to the whites, not all of you are bad. Some of you are fantastic. Really fun to go tailgating with. He's just talking about. I'm not speaking on behalf of him. Those are Al's words. So let's talk to another Al. Hello, Al from Sherman Park. How are you?
Hey, how are you, Sherwin? Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I don't know where all this Jewish hate came from, particularly in the Black community, because we would probably not have some of our organizations like the NAACP without the Jewish community and Jewish attorneys that helped Black folks when they got in trouble.
We're not as anti-Semitic as other whites are. I think it's something that is expanding in far left-leaning democratic socialism because they're using a real obvious and old dog whistle to signal their hate for Jews. I don't think it's us. It's other white people have had a beef with Jews that goes back several thousand years that ain't got nothing to do with us. So, yeah, I don't think it's Black people.
Yeah. So, well, that brings me to another point here about the Democratic Socialists. Do you think the Democrat Party might be regretting support of socialist agendas like Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and Free Palestine?
Black Lives Matter is not a socialist agenda. Black Lives Matter is a statement, which is very disappointing coming from, well, you're also a gay Republican. So,
well, the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement were socialists. They would tell you that themselves.
But it wasn't a centralized, like, headquartered in Atlanta or D.C. Black Lives Matter was a statement that different places and cities used
to deal with things they saw in those unique geographic places. Like Black Lives Matter meant something different here than it did in Ann Arbor, Michigan, than it meant in Indianapolis. It just meant something different. It wasn't a set of rules. It wasn't a set of guidelines. It was very much decentralized as a reminder that, oh, by the way, while all these black people are getting killed and police are not being brought to justice, hey, just so you know, Black Lives Matter. So I personally resent you as a black man trying to lump something that still means something to black people, like, you know, our lives matter, your lives matter, and then calling that a socialist agenda. I find that problematic. So you mean that fighting and combating racism, and be honest with us, Al, you believe that fighting racism and wanting to rid this nation of disparities is a socialist agenda? Do you think that Martin Luther King, that wanted fairness and equality and the right to participate in public life, you think that Dr. King was adopting a socialist agenda? Dr. King, mind you, was very much a Republican, but you believe that the fight in the crusade for voting rights and civil rights and employment rights is a socialist agenda?
So let's go back to Patrice.
That's
Cullen.
A yes or no. Do you believe that the fight for racial equality, which was led by a bunch of black Republicans starting in the 1940s, is a socialist agenda? That's a yes or no. I don't need background. I'll give background.
No, okay. Not as the public understands it. But from an organizing standpoint, when you go talk about Patrice Cullors and her partners, they use their socialist agenda also to form Black Lives Matter, to get the organization up and running. They use their principles, which is one of the things socialism likes to do, is it likes to divide amongst race and class. I mean, they really do like race.
So Al, let's separate out how some people may take advantage of Black Lives Matter for their own selfish political agenda, but let's not cast a dark shadow over the original intent of the statement, which is Black lives actually matter. And what you're doing is you're taking and cherry picking an extreme that took advantage of that sentiment and rolled it into a socialist agenda. That doesn't mean that the entire spirit of Black Lives Matter is something that's socialist. I had enough of talking to him. That's so disrespectful.
What do you expect? A black gay Republican?
How does that even happen?
Very confused person.
You're not supposed to say that. Everybody has their own. You can be whatever you want to be. You can be a woman or a man. You can identify as a kitten if you want to and get stuck in a tree. You can wear cat ears. You can wear a tail. So you can't. Because if he is confused, so are some of they and them. That's confusion, yes, too. But you don't want to say that because those are your allies. So.
People are confused sometimes. I can acknowledge that.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to say that. Because maybe they have it more figured out than us. Maybe we're all a bunch of they-thems.
Oh, you're talking about that. I think some of those people, they know exactly what they are.
But you don't think... So the they-thems aren't confused.
No, some of them are.
But a gay black Republican
I would say some of the they-thems are confused, but a lot of them know what they are. And some of the black gay Republicans are confused, and some of them know what they are. I think, that's my statement on that.
I better leave a they-thems alone.
Yeah, you better. Yeah. Martha's going to be coming in here and protesting you soon.
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm not a ma'am. I'm a maybe. Don't you dare misgender me. How am I supposed to know? Read my email signature. That will tell you what you need to know. Well, then fine. I apologize. I don't want to misgender anybody, but that's a lot of work on my part because I'm from the 20th century when life was a little more analog and it was different. We played outside. We built snow forts. I learned gun safety by having a BB gun. Very different back then. They don't tell you this part about getting old, that the world just, it confuses you to where now the teenagers, when they go to the formal events, even people in their 20s and 30s, they wear Jordans with tuxedos. Don't do that. Wear a nice hard bottom.
Didn't Boys and Men do that?
They wore jean shorts and cardigans. No, they didn't. No!
Yeah, they wore the Concords one time with their tuxedos when they performed.
That one time, but their style. Don't compare 90s fashion, which was beautiful, by the way. Don't compare it to now.
The big baggy pants.
Get the phone! I got a damn. How did I get cursed with a Democratic Socialist producer? And now Israel's on the phone. I got to take a break. This is just too much. When is this election? Can we get this damn election over? Can we reschedule the election day for tomorrow and just move it up a week and just get it over with? I'm sick of it.
Well, you're going to have an interesting decision to make coming up.
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
My decision is going to be, it's simple. So I'm too old to have my political viewpoints blow like the wind because I know who I am. I know the work that I've done. I know the progress that I want to see. And I know over the years that I have been involved in this work, I know where the progress has come from. And I can't, because something is exciting for a bunch of young people who don't have any real political skin in the game, because it's exciting for them. I'm not, like, if a bunch of young people had a party, I wouldn't go to it because I'm not invited to that party and I'm too old to be there. I am too old to have my political viewpoint switch because there's a fad. I don't like fads. I like what is tried, true, and what is classic. Some people who have loose political affiliations or none, they move with the wind. Some of them will be Republican. Some of them will be independent. Some of them will be moderate. Some of them will be Democratic Socialist. They're like political whores. They just go where they'll date anybody. They'll date any political affiliation. I tend to be a little bit more committed. I am married to a policy agenda that has proven itself. Now, I'm not trying to be out here being a little political hoe. Like, ooh, here come the Democratic Socialists. Ooh, they're sexy. Ooh, I like the way they look. Ooh, that Democratic Socialist got a nice walk. I think I'm going to go with them. I'm not. That's not me. But for other people that are a little more loose with their political affiliations, I get it. It's new. It's novel. It's very sexy. You got a small little Asian lady who's very small little Asian. She used to own a restaurant. She checks some boxes. She's a single mother. She's been divorced. She's an Asian lady from Madison. She's great. But, you know, it's just not me. I'm not going to forsake the work that I've done and the effort that I put in to try and move the needle because, you know, I want black kids to be able to read because I'm going to need somebody to take my spot one day and I'm going to need the majority of black people to be able to read real good because there's a lot of reading in this job. So anything that doesn't address that, I'm not going to vote for, and I'm not going to be a person. Well, we can just sidestep the black agenda for a couple of decades and we'll come back to it. That doesn't work that way. Take a break, come back, come to our senses a little bit, and continue the conversation. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM in Milwaukee. We're broadcasting from the American Family Insurance Studio in the heart of downtown in the Avenue. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Looking to discover and support local businesses in our community? Then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer and Bailey for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they're located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses in the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homer and Bailey, powered by We Energies, delivering energy that powers local business. Let's talk to Israel. Hello, Israel. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Good morning. Hello, hello.
Yeah. You said good morning. Okay.
Okay. Before I say what I wanted to say, we're kind of without discipline in society, like, you know, professional levels and just like interacting and everything, communication is just kind of terrible. But the interesting thing, you just had these callers before this, like, you know, people's ideas and everything. Because Crowley and Hong, like, you know, they're both promising, like, you know, good things for everybody and everything. And there's this issue with trust, and then there's a certainty understanding with this contradiction, like, you know, if Crowley gets elected, like, you know, will he do things like help, like, the inner city and, like, poverty more and everything, a.k.a., like, you know what I'm saying? And the issue with Hong, like, you know, she's, like, has, like, parents who's not from the country and everything, but she's born here and she has, like, a great deal of love and everything, because it's just, like, you know, she's also promising great things and everything like that. And in between the black and white, it's just kind of like, okay, so, you know, we don't want to throw this up here. Could that also be a way to look at it, too? Like, okay, so you also have this whole other, like, you know, scenario here, too. Like, you know, and it's coming down to people's, like, you know, personal, like, you know, feelings, trauma or pride or anything. So what is politics now? Is it identity politics, or is there still rich and poor, or, like, is there left and right with all this other stuff in between? What is politics now?
Yes.
Yes, just yes.
Yep. That's the answer. Yep, it's what you said. It's everything, and everything in between. There's even a whole bunch of stuff that you didn't say, but basically, yes.
And then, so, propose, like, people are on the phone and everything, right? And while they're driving, right? There's a car accident, and a passenger loses their life. And in this situation, you know, somebody was going 36 and a 30, but they had the right to the road. They had the right of way. But somebody wasn't paying attention. Their phone rang. They looked up at it for a split second. Don't know if it was a phone call or a text message, but the accident happened. And they both said, I was looking at my phone. I wasn't paying attention, though. Would there still be an understanding, or would there be, like, you know, frustration since everybody's doing it?
Yes.
Just yes?
Uh-huh. I mean, that's the answer. What do you want? You want me to give you a long paragraph of BS? Yes. There'd be frustration, and the person shouldn't be looking at the phone. They should be looking at the road, and they're negligent if they took their eyes off the road and they were speeding and somebody died. Yes.
All right. Which passenger, though, for it to make a difference? Who was the passenger?
Well, it doesn't matter. They're dead. That's not an ideal scenario. The passenger is dead because of the negligence of the driver. So, yes. Do you have any other questions that I can answer yes to?
So if a police officer pulls up and it's a situation as such, and if people can explain it, is that simple? Would that make people's lives easier?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Are we that hurt?
Yes.
Interesting.
It is.
Day then.
Okay. All right. Nothing else? I got answers.
I didn't know criminals couldn't get into political rallies. Have a nice day.
Yes, they can. They don't do a background check. What is? He left me on a cliffhanger right there.
Interesting.
I answered his questions.
You did.
I don't know why everybody expects Sherwin to give you some long, drawn-out soliloquy. I don't have to give a thesis every time I answer somebody's question. He had a question. I said yes. I affirmed.
I think your answers were adequate.
They were. You don't want to say too much. I don't want to use too many words because I don't want to, you know, run out of things to talk about. Don't want to do that. That'd be awful. All right, where are we at here? What's this here? America's job market has a contradiction hiding in plain sight. This one comes from Inc.com. Companies can't find enough workers while millions of people are struggling to get hired. Warehouses, hospitals, and factories are filled with now hiring signs, yet qualified candidates are still being passed over. The problem isn't a lack of jobs or a lack of workers. It's that the two are increasingly failing to connect. Everyone is talking about artificial intelligence with good cause. Will it take your job? Will it replace your kid's first career step? A bigger and quieter problem lies just beneath the surface. the United States is heading toward what may be the largest labor shortage in history. This is according to research from Lightcast Projects, a gap of roughly 6 million workers in the next 6 years. Georgetown University's Center on Education and the Workforce Projects, a shortage of 5.25 million workers with educations beyond high school, including 4.5 million who will need at least a bachelor's degree as retirements and job growth continue to outpace the supply of qualified talent. So I'm going to take a pause right there. Come back and talk about the worker shortage. Now there's an answer to this. Either we encourage more people to seek higher education where they can qualify for some jobs that need at least a bachelor's degree, or we're going to have to go get them from a foreign country. But y'all got to figure out where you are on the immigration. Because if Americans don't have the necessary education and resume and skill set to fill these jobs, then we got to go find the people somewhere else because we need the tax revenue. And if you're a democratic socialist, your political paradigm thrives on an economy that is explosive and is always creating jobs and always producing income. Because you need people to be working so you can tax their income and give it to the public good. So democratic socialists have got to support a thriving economy. And here's the problem. Capitalism is the best way to get that thriving economy because you're going to need money to tax. You're going to need wealth to tax. You're going to need employed people. You're going to need homeowners that are paying property taxes in order to take those taxes and redistribute that money to other people in society that need it. So here's what I haven't heard. I've heard what democratic socialists want to do as far as provide public benefit. I haven't heard entirely the economic details of how they're going to have a thriving and robust economy. And just by taking money from rich people and taxing them and giving it to the less fortunate doesn't create a sustainable economy. It doesn't. It means you're taking money from people that have it and giving it to people that don't. But how does that sustain job growth and job creation? It doesn't. But I'm just holding out for how democratic socialists, who are now being very insufferable to the quote-unquote establishment, how they're going to pivot their campaign to be more generally election-friendly, including bringing African-Americans and our voters back into the fold. I also want to hear how they're going to create a robust economy where people are employed, and with that employment comes income taxes and sales taxes and people buying houses and property taxes. Keeping in mind that democratic socialists don't have anything in their platform to increase African-American home ownership, which is one of the reasons why we still have this gap in intergenerational wealth. But they're going to need black people to own homes because they're going to need black people to pay property taxes so they have the property taxes in which they can distribute to poor people. Do you see where I'm getting at here? The theories that they are coming up with politically have no merit. It's like trying to hold water in a bag with holes in it. You can put water in it and it's going to leak out. This is going to look like you peed. But that's not pee. It's policy. It's leaking all over the floor. It's going to be wet. Policy juice. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Everything is good and round.
For parents, choosing the right schools, one of the most important decisions you will make, and Milwaukee College Prep, they don't take that responsibility lightly. At Milwaukee College Prep, your child is more than just a student. They're a young person that they get to know by name, by strength, and by the areas they need the most support. Together as a family and a school, Milwaukee College Prep works every day to help your child grow and learn and build the confidence to reach their fullest potential. They would love to meet you and your child in person to share more about how they can work together. Don't wait. Seats are limited. Apply today at MilwaukeeCollegePrep.com or call 414-264-6000. That's MilwaukeeCollegePrep.com or call 414-264-6000.
Everything is good. Oh, and green.
What do we got going on here with the worker shortage, ladies and gentlemen? Georgetown University's Center on Education and the Workforce projects a shortage of 5.25 million workers with an education beyond high school, including 4.5 million who will need at least a bachelor's degree as retirements and job growth continue to outpace the supply of qualified talent. What would be a real good political platform item is how we are going to satisfy this labor demand that we have in this country. It really is a good problem to have. But if we don't have the educated workforce, these workers are going to have to come from somewhere. And we're going to need these jobs to be filled. These jobs can't sit vacant forever. These are some of the core foundational jobs that keep the country running. And if these jobs are filled, then that's more people making money, more salary, more income, more tax revenue. And we need the tax revenue to distribute to the people that need the health care and the Medicare and the Medicaid and need all of the things. Can't let jobs go unfilled. We got to find a worker. Sometimes those workers are foreign, but y'all don't want foreigners coming here because the foreigners might be qualified to take the jobs that Americans are not. But then Americans get mad because Americans don't get the job, but Americans aren't qualified to get the job, so we don't want anybody to have it. That doesn't make any sense because the job that is unfilled is salary that is not being paid. And when salary is paid, taxes are collected and we need the tax money. Democratic socialists need a robust American economy probably more than any other political modality because they need people to be working and getting a salary so that that tax revenue can be distributed to people that need it for services, for health care, for education. And so if there is no democratic socialist plan to use capitalism to build the wealth, then what are you going to tax? I can't throw this folder. I need this folder. I almost had a fit. You want to tax the wealthy, but that means you got to maintain wealth. Okay, I get it. The wealthy have too much money. Let's get it. Let's take some of it. Let's take a piece of all the wealthy money, okay? But we have to still create wealth in order for us to have taxes that we're getting from the wealthy people. Am I wrong? If you're going to tax the wealthy, you need to continue to produce wealthy. Can't tax them out of their own money because then where are you going to get the money from to tax the wealthy? So you got to produce wealth. And guess what produces wealth unlike anything else? Capitalism. So if you get rid of capitalism, you are getting rid of the system that produces the money and the income that democratic socialists need to tax so that all of their policy platform items come to fruition. So you can disavow capitalism all you want, but not only do they need it, they need to support it. They almost need to lower taxes on wealth so they can tax the taxes on the wealth. It doesn't make any damn sense. When you actually think about it, it's like a joke. We hate capitalism. We hate the wealthy. Get rid of capitalism. Tax the wealthy. Capitalism gives you wealth. And if you need the wealth to collect taxes off of it, then you have to support wealth. Right? And where are you going to get the money from? You can't just print it. That's going to make inflation. A lot of business owners are asking, back to the article from Inc.com, if there's a shortage that large, what does it feel like when nobody can get hired? Part of the answer is in numbers most people don't see. The national unemployment rate is 4.2%, but labor force participation, the share of adults working or looking, has dropped to 61.5%. More than 25% of unemployed workers have been jobless for 6 months or longer. There are now more open jobs than unemployed people to fill them. So it's neither a shortage of open positions nor people. It's a shortage of the right people in the right place with the right skills and a shrinking workforce as baby boomers retire and fewer young people replace them. The mismatch is measurable. The Society for Human Resource Management found that roughly a third of job openings can't be filled by anyone whose most recent job was in a related field. Employers want very specific experience. Job seekers, especially recent grads with general degrees, often don't have it. The shortage will hit hardest in nursing and healthcare, skilled trades, construction, teaching, and precision manufacturing. These jobs require a physical presence, a license, or years of hands-on skill. Work with AI cannot do. This should sound familiar to almost any employer in any region. Health systems are always recruiting nurses and clinical staff. Manufacturers need welders, machinists, and electricians. In logistics hubs, warehouse and driving jobs sit empty, not because the work dried up, but because companies can't find enough trained, willing people. So what's the solution? For employers, the old, quote, post a job and hope the right resume shows up playbook won't cut it. Instead, try partnering with local career and technical schools, investing in apprenticeships instead of waiting for fully formed candidates. One striking statistic: 93% of HR departments have zero recruiting programs aimed at workers over 65, despite a large, willing workforce. Wait a minute, why are you trying to hire somebody over 65? Shouldn't you be done working by then? I mean, I suppose I could do this job, assuming I still have a voice at 65. I'll get on the microphone and yell at people for 3 hours and talk to gay black Republicans and, you know, anybody else. I'll still do that. For job seekers, especially recent grads, the path forward may require looking beyond the obvious. Instead of waiting for the perfect role that matches a diploma, explore adjacent fields, trade certifications, or apprenticeships that can open doors faster. The old certainty that a degree alone opens doors is fading. A degree still matters in many roles, but the paths opening up look a little different than before. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Linda says, I may have been busy when you answered my question. I probably didn't answer your question, Linda, because I don't read the YouTube chat word for word because y'all type too fast. But it warrants asking again and again, how do black people hold other black people accountable for their actions versus the law? It's not as easy as you may think. The only black people you can hold accountable are those that find you credible, so your friends and your family. We also can have strong institutions that require a standard for full participation. But just thinking you can hold a black person that you don't know accountable, good luck. You'll get shot first. That's not how that works. You can't even tell a black person they're doing a bad job of being a parent. They'll kill you. You can't discipline other people's kids. They'll kill you. So all we can do is have a positive impact on the people that are in our circle. Somebody asked me a question on my YouTube channel. They posted a comment, and it's one of those comments that there really is no small or quick answer for. Like, oh, Sherwin, how do we fix our situation? Like, which part? The we is the problem. So what we have to do is, because the we is a collection of people who don't have skills, who are undereducated, who don't have a desire to be successful. There's not enough people that want to climb out of their current situation. They've just kind of gotten comfortable in it. But we need a community full of people who have maximized their fullest potential. Now, we also need support. We need education systems that allow people to maximize, and first of all, to find what their potential is and then to maximize it. Then you can start forming a community, because then people have something in common. They all want to be the best they can be at whatever endeavor they're involved in. They want to maximize their potential. And when you have a community of people that are either maximizing their potential or are striving to, then they have much more things in common. They'll have standards. They'll have boundaries and protocols. They won't accept certain things. They won't accept bad behaviors. They'll accept less crime. They'll accept less garbage being left on the ground. When everybody's trying to maximize their fullest potential, their fullest God-given potential, then you can start building community from that, because everybody has the same goal in mind, to be a hell of a lot better. But we don't have enough people that want to be better. You have to resign to the fact that you want to be better tomorrow than you are today. And really, at the end of the day, the only person that you are competing with is who you used to be. So we got to start focusing on that and stop worrying about how we can fix or help somebody else. Clean up your house first. Be an example. Maybe that's how we hold other people accountable. Be an example of good behavior and being law-abiding and cleaning up garbage and getting an education and working hard every single day. Once we normalize that as a standard, then maybe some people will follow. But as far as holding other people accountable, because too many of us are bad examples, and we want to change other people. We want other people to be better. We want other people to stop doing foolishness and nonsense. But here we are participating in it too. I wish that we had more people that would stop and break up fights instead of letting people beat each other to death and just recording it and putting on social media. Maybe we can start there. But we have to be the examples that we want to see. And another disappointing thing about the current political ethos of the day is you have people that want a system to provide more for them than they are willing to provide for themselves. Look, I get it. The economy isn't great for a lot of people, and wages are really, really low. Now that you know that, what are you going to do? How does that motivate you to do better and to be better and to want more? Or do you just resign to the fact that, oh, well, I'm going to be poor, and I hope that I can elect somebody that's going to give me a whole bunch of stuff to make me comfortable in my poverty? That's not sustainable. We all know that things are not fair. And some people are better equipped to deal with a world that is not fair than others. But there are some people that were helicopter parented, and they are spoiled rotten, and the world is hurting their feelings, and they want politics to fix that? They want politics to fix the fact that they don't have coping mechanisms to deal with the real world. And that, to me, is insane, because politics will never fill that void. It won't, and it's not supposed to. It's supposed to offer something to people who are willing to work hard and be dedicated to making things better for themselves and for their community. And then politics will loom in the background. Politics will take away barriers that shouldn't be there in the first place. Politics will take away disparity and discrimination and institutional and structural racism. That's what policy does. Policy is not going to create a utopia for you. And if it did, the utopia would probably suck. I don't want everything that we have to be a structure and a creation of one political party versus another. I want it to actually be created by people that are creative, that are innovative, that are motivated, and that are intelligent. That's what I want our systems and our structures to be created from, not how the Democrats can give you a whole bunch of stuff and how the Republicans can take it all away. We have to put ourselves and our motivations above political party, and we don't do that. Because somebody just expects the world to just be their oyster, but you got to work your ass off. That's the part that people aren't getting. But I also think that this work is not—it's not valued like it used to be. Nobody wants to work hard. Everybody wants to be the CEO. Everybody wants to be the owner. How much work you got to do? Long nights. You got to do a lot of reading. You got to do a lot of the researches. Got to read stuff. You got to take notes. You need a mentor. You need a guiding light to follow. And if you don't have any of that, then politics is not going to be the answer. I don't care how far left you go and how socialist you get. Some people just are not going to be helped. Then we just got to resign to the fact that some people just are going to suck forever. We know many people that suck. Lots of them. Exactly. Xavier's nodding his head. Some people... And like, oh, I blame politics. No, you're just, if you suck, a moment for the people that suck. If you suck and you're not motivated and you're not trying to maximize your full potential, if you're not willing to work your ass off and if you don't have a strong work ethic and you don't have any of those things, right? You don't have a solid foundation. And you want politics and your political affiliation to fill in all of those missing pieces from who you are, all you're going to do is just make politics suck. Because what about the people that are willing to work hard? What about the people that are willing to be very, very patient? What about the people that have a solid work ethic? What about the people that do work very, very hard on their education? Okay? They're relying much more on themselves and who they are and their internal mechanisms instead of relying on something that's external, and that's political. And you're going to always lose those people because they will become post-political. Because if politics is just for people that cannot, for whatever reason, apply themselves and don't have a work ethic, you're not going to be able to escape hard work. I've tried it. It's very lonely and it's very unemployed. You have to work hard. Sometimes you got to do a job that you don't want to do. When I was 19 years old, I worked at Home Goods. I wore a smock with a name tag on it. And I was wondering, why do all these people know my name? Because I wore a name tag. Excuse me, Sherwin? What? How do you know who I am? Your name tag says so. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Sherwin. I just want to quick say or clarify that we make hold the bad people accountable by law. We have to go through the law to make them accountable. And we have to organize community organizations to take back our community, to hold the standard, to set a standard.
Take it back from who? Who's got it?
The bad people.
All right.
That's representing us politically. That's where we have to assert our standards, because politically they're representing the worst of us.
Got to vote
and
first,
the best
Linda.
Of us have to step up and step out and hold, take back our community, organize.
All right, got to vote.
That's all I'm saying. All by right. law.
By law.
Yep.
Okay then. By law. Okay. Where's my where my vote counter at? Here it is. What's today? August 3rd. Let's take a look. On the first day of early voting, at how many sites we have in the city? One, Good Hope Library, two, Midtown, three, Tippecanoe, four, Washington Park, five, Zablocki, six, the Zeidler Municipal Building. Early voting started on the 30th. 3,187 people have voted. Basically, one aldermanic district's worth of votes have been cast in this much-talked-about Democratic primary election. Guess how many people have registered to vote since early voting started? 132. So we gotta do some voting first. Thank you guys for listening. The Lunch Break with Ray Nitti and maybe Shannon is up next.